Welcome to Life Church of Mobile's audio podcast. We hope this teaching will challenge you in any season of life you may be in. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you'll enjoy.
Well, you know, we've been talking about five words as we began this year, and I'm going to take a little break from that today. We're going to have communion here in just a little while. So we're going to take a little break from that, but we will get into it next week. The reason I'm taking a little break from it is because if I started talking about investing today, I don't have enough time. It would frustrate me and it would frustrate you. So I want to cover it. Once we get started, I want to really unleash it. But I've got a word also I believe is for today. And so next week we're going to talk about invest. And just as a little teaser, I'm going to tell you, when we talk about investing, you think, oh, he's going to talk about money. Investing is about a lot more than just money. So it involves money, but it's so much more than that. That is part of it. But today, if you'll bear with me, we're going to be having communion here in just a few moments. And as we do that, I'm asking you to do it with me today with a little bit different thought process and a little bit different heart process maybe than we have before. Yes, it's about the benefits that we receive, and it's about everything that Jesus provided for us. But here's what I'm asking you to do today, and join me as we receive communion. Not only what it provides for us individually, but would you join me today, church, in faith, and let's, as we receive communion, do it in faith over the United States of America. Now, and let me just, I'm just going to have to say some things as I begin, because I just feel like I have to say it. Over our nation, for forgiveness. I was horrified. Horrified. When I saw the law that just passed last week in New York State, legalizing abortion up to minutes before a child is delivered. Now, if you didn't realize that, you need to. This is not internet fodder. This is law. Now, let me say this, and I don't want to get, you know, I want to keep this thing centered on Jesus' blood. When I see things like that, in some ways I've had to deal in my heart with a sense of hopelessness, but that's not God. But and I have to be honest and blunt so that you can just understand it. This is nothing less than legalized, state-sanctioned murder. Now, it grieves me to say that. I take no joy in that. It grieves my heart. And we are called the United States of America. And I have to say, in this, we are not united. But here's the good news. We're going to receive communion today at the close of the service. And we're going to do it in faith for a mighty move of God. I said a mighty move of God in our nation. Will you join me in faith for that? And we're going to do it. We're going to do it knowing that where we are right now, that Jesus is the only answer. We have no answer but Him for all of this. And not only that, but pray for our nation, that we will come together, that we will rally and be united around Jehovah God. And once again, we will see the hand of God stronger on America than it's ever been. How many of you will join with me in faith today, not only for our forgiveness, but for our healing and for our restoration? And so that's what we're going to do today. And I have to be that strong with it. And you know, and before you start saying, well, you know, this is that or that, this is politics. No, let me tell you something. Listen to Romans 12:9. It says this: abhor that which is evil and cling to that which is good. So, how many of you are going to believe with me today as we do that? But as we celebrate communion today, I want to talk about the importance of the communion of the church. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 14 say this, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many." Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says this, beginning verse 15, "I speak to you as wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing, which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread." Would you say amen to the reading of God's word? As we talk about the communion of the church, I'm reminded that one of the most evident differences between the American church and the church we see in the New Testament is the intensity of the life that they had together. Believers in the New Testament saw themselves as a spiritual family. Everybody say spiritual family. A people, a movement. They lived out their Christian lives in real and consistent relationship with other Christians. Now, here's what I'm saying. We need each other. I said we need each other. You can't separate Jesus from his body. You can't separate Jesus from his church. And you look at it, God in his very nature is a community of three persons united as one, existing in a loving relationship. So, when God created us, he created us to do life in community. Communion, common cup. We miss that aspect of it sometimes. We miss that aspect of the body of Christ. Now, let me show you this. When Jesus came to earth, he lived out this example for us of community in a priority of love. He did not, listen, he did not do life in isolation. In fact, let me say it this way. You cannot experience true abundant life. You cannot experience John 10:10 life in isolation. Amen. Jesus modeled it. He was born into a family. He grew up in a family. And when he began his ministry, the first thing he did was choose 12 disciples that would also be with him. Listen to this. I wrote this down this morning. Jesus modeled community. He said, John 10:10, abundant life. Abundant life can't be experienced in isolation. Jesus lived life. He went to weddings. We just heard about it. Hello? Jesus went to weddings. He went to feasts. How many of you like to go to feasts? Oh, y'all are so spiritual. He went to weddings. He went to feasts. He had meals with other people. Sometimes he got criticized for it. He developed relationships, watch this, apart from the crowd itself. And I saw this morning and I'd never seen it before. Even after the resurrection, Jesus went outdoors around a campfire and had a meal with the disciples. But that's not all he did. He had a meal with the disciples after the resurrection, and he worked on some relationship issues that he and Peter had had. Peter had denied him. How would you like to be in Peter? The last memory Peter had was of saying, I never knew the guy, cursed. And yet here is Jesus around the campfire working out some relationship issues with Peter after the resurrection. Jesus had a natural family that grieved at his suffering and death. Jesus himself modeled community. Would somebody say amen? Amen. So I say all that to say, you know what? We need each other. His disciples, they ate together, walked together, talked together, traveled together, ministered together during that time. God places us in community. Watch this. Because life happens. Listen to this. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes. Not in your notes. But you've heard these verses before. But listen to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Beginning at verse 9, if y'all can back there, pull that up. And we'll just do it out of the New King James. It's close enough in the King James that it won't really differentiate that much between it. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, listen to this. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. But listen to this in verse 10. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, verse 11, and if two lie down together, they will keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? Verse 12, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Wow. You're going to face difficulties in life. I've been here long enough to tell you I've seen people walk through some difficult seasons, some hard times. And in those times, you need other people's strength to help get you through it. And when you go through rough times, you'll be there to help them go through it. We will comfort each other, challenge each other, grow together, and then celebrate victories together. Somebody say amen. How many of you in this house are grateful that when you went through a hard time in your life, when you went through a difficult time in your life, not only did you have the presence of God, but you had the presence of God through somebody else in this house or in your family or somewhere. Would you give God praise for that? Man, thank God for that. That's beautiful. And we forget that when we celebrate communion, the common cup. Here's the thing. Build godly relationships in your life. Young people, especially, whatever age you are, realize relationships that you develop and that you cultivate have the power to make or break you at some point in your future. Build godly relationships in your life, because here's what I've discovered. When the enemy wants to sidetrack you, he'll send somebody to influence you. But when God wants to bless you and encourage you, he will send somebody into your life as well. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. God told Adam, he said, it's not good for you to be alone. And we know the rest of the story. He develops relationship. When God wants to change a business, when he wants to change a community, when he wants to change a nation, hear me, he raises up people who will fulfill his purposes. Wow, that's good stuff. But here's what I've discovered. If there is a place in the world to where we should find a sense of loving, caring community, the church should be that place. It should be the church. Because nothing in your life will affect you any more than your lifetime relationships. All the things you can look at, and I don't want to take a lot of time to do that, but God knew what he was saying when he said it's not good for man to be alone. I don't know what it is about this particular movie, but there is a movie that fascinates me. And if I'm on a plane or something and in its on, and I will pull it up, and that is that movie Castaway. Now, if you don't remember what that is, That's when Tom Hanks was working for FedEx, and the plane crashed. And he was the only one who survived. And he ends up on an island all by himself. And I can't remember the exact time frame, but it's like 4 or 5 years. And, you know, it's just the way he talks to himself. And he's marooned on this specific island. 4 years, that's when it was. I wrote it down, the 4 years. But listen, the need for friendship was so strong and so great that a volleyball washed up on the beach one day. And before it was over, he was talking to Wilson like Wilson was his best friend in the universe. Wilson. And one time he even got, listen, one time he even got mad at Wilson, kicked him out of the cave, told him off, cursed him. And then he was laying there a few minutes later, and all of a sudden he realized he had just destroyed his only friend on that whole island. And he went running after Wilson and said, Wilson, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, Wilson. I'll never do it again. Let me tell you something. If there's no other example from that movie, it is this. You go live by yourself on an island for 4 years and you be crazy as a sack of hammers before it's over when you don't have anybody to talk to but a volleyball. And that movie just fascinates me because you can't help but put yourself in that. What would I do? I wonder if I'd survive. But there's a lesson to be learned from that. You want to torture somebody, put them in solitary confinement. Good, intimate relationships will build up our lives, but too much isolation will break us down. Now, we all need, how many of you know that from time to time, any of us could use a little bit of alone time? I know some of you, probably young mothers and dads, you're like, oh, being marooned on an island right now sounds real good. Man, I could, woo. Yeah, you need your alone time. You need that. But it needs to be in balance because we are made for koinonia. Everybody say koinonia. Somebody tell me what the word koinonia means. Fellowship. Yes. The word fellowship in our Bible is taken from the New Testament word, which means koinonia. It means fellowship. Watch. It means sharing. It means contribution, association, and participation. Listen to this in Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship in koinonia. In the breaking of bread, what we're going to do today in the prayers. But that was also used in the sense of not just breaking of bread in communion, but sharing a meal together. How many of you know that fellowship is good in the household of faith? We are made for community. This is more than just a bunch of people sitting in a building together once a week. Because in the New Testament, placing your faith in Jesus was not just about beginning a new relationship with God. Watch this. But it was also about becoming part of a new community. A new family of brothers and sisters. Tell your neighbor right now, we are family. You got to say it, family. I'm sorry, I get the Pointer Sisters going off in my head when I... Somebody say, sing it, Brother Scotty. No. We are family. I got all my sisters and brothers and me. I love to change the words to an old song, man. Get it in there. Get it spiritual. Get it going. That is so important. You know, If things changed and I wasn't pastoring this church, let me tell you something. Regardless of whether I pastor this church, regardless of whether or not we're leading this church, there are relationships on this church, in this church that are not just based on the fact that we're pastoring this church. They are lifetime relationships that whether I was in California or we were in Canada or we're in Latvia or we're in Europe, I got news. We are family. We are in covenant together. We are knit together as the family of God, and it's for a lifetime. Somebody say yes. We are family. I love that. And I'm telling you, and you know the thing about it is, when you talk about family, boy, I'm just enjoying being so down to earth and real today. You know what? Everybody, and I know all of you are different in that everybody in your family just gets along all the time, don't ever have no cross words. You like everything they do. You like everything they say. You can't wait to hang out with them and see what they're going to say next. Families have to work through issues, but we have the Holy Spirit working in us to help us get through those issues, just like Jesus and Peter did. It's not always hunky-dory, but I tell you, it's a rewarding relationship, a new family of brothers and sisters in Christ. So, church is not a building. This is where the church meets. I said, church is not a building. This is where the church meets. It's not a building that you visit from time to time or even an event or a meeting that you go to. It is a family. It is a community that God wants you to be a vital part of. And we're getting ready to celebrate communion in just a moment as I wrap this up. But I saw something in Matthew chapter 25 that I had never seen it before, because most of us, we see this scripture and we think about it in the sense of, well, I need to do this for them. And that's great that we have outreach in community. It's great that we have outreach in our city. It's great that we have outreach in the world. But there is something about being a part of the household of faith, the Bible talks about, that becomes a priority in our lives. But in Matthew chapter 25, look at this. Jesus said, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? Or when did we see you as a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, watch this, "Assuredly, I say to you, insomuch as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me." Amen. Give God praise for that. That's a powerful, powerful priority in our lives. Yes, we want to reach the world, but I tell you what, we want to be a part of the household of faith. And let me tell you, when you pray for me, when you pray for us, when you pray for Susan and myself and our family, when you pray for people in this church, you are becoming the agents through which the Holy Spirit is moving and making such a difference in people's hearts and lives. I cannot tell you how much we value that. I cannot tell you how much that means to know that we're lifted up. But here's the thing. You know, we can, today, one of the great advantages that we have, and also disadvantages that we have, is that we live in a world to where my phone, you know, it's like, if I go off without my phone, my communication has just gone from 100% to 0% because we become attached to it. And while the internet and relationship, let me just say it this way. I am thankful for text messaging, because it enables me, when I can't physically get to you at the time, as I'm praying over you, release a word into your life that will lift you up and bring hope and strength and blessing. How many of you ever had somebody give you a word from God that just picked you up? I mean, just turned you around, and you needed it right then at that time, at that day. I thank God for the social media that we have today that we can do that. But social media can't take the place of a real personal relationship with somebody. Every now and then we need to see each other face to face. Oh, that's weak. That was weak, but I'll take it. I thank God for Facebook and for Instagram. And I tell you what, especially with part of our family being 2,300 miles away, I mean, you get on Facebook, I mean, not Facebook, FaceTime, but there still ain't nothing like a hug. There ain't nothing like a real kiss for those grandkids. There is nothing like the ability to be able to get together and experience the love that we have between each other. There's nothing in the world like it. And so while we utilize that, and you know what, that's important. And utilize that. As God stirs you, you know, we're able to communicate with each other. We're able to pick each other up. There have been times that I'll remember this forever. It was one Friday. I was over in my office. And I mean, there was just some things that were heavy. That I was dealing with, and I didn't have answers for. Anybody been there besides me? Yes. Heavy. And I thought, I remember at the time, I said, God, I've done everything I can do. We've done everything we can do. And I began to weep. And folks, in that moment, my phone lit up and somebody sent me a text that doesn't even live in this city. And they said to me in that moment, that very moment, they said, you are on our heart. We don't know what you're going through, but we want to help. Relationships are important, and cultivating relationships with people who have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying are so important in our lives. And folks, when God stirs you with a word, step out in faith. And by the way, well, what if I miss it? You know, there have been times when I thought, they don't need my encouragement. Why in the world? You don't know what somebody's going through. And I tell you what, if I'm going to miss it, I'm going to miss it on the side of, I don't know what you're going through right now, but I just want you to know I love you and I'm lifting you up. To share that, to reach out and to do that and to be sensitive. And I'm getting out, now I'm getting into next week already. I just can't help it because I'm talking about investing. When we talk about investing, that's part of it. And by the way, you don't have to say, thus saith the Lord. Come on, charismatics, help me out. A lot of times what you can say is, you know what, I just feel in my heart, I just sense in my spirit that God's wanting to encourage you, that God wants you to know how much He loves you, that God's there for you, and that I'm praying for you, and I don't know what you're walking through, but I tell you what, I just want you to know God loves you enough, and I've told people this before. There are times when God just wants you to know He loves you enough that He will personally stir somebody's heart named Paul. And the next thing you know, Paul stirred up and he is sending Brother Scotty a message. And that message is going to say, brother, God is stirring my heart for you today. And He wants you to know He is personally concerned about you. A lot of times we don't have to have all the answers, coach. We don't have to know. We don't have to have somebody say, oh, this or that or something else. We just got to know, bless God, there is somebody in this cruel world that cares, and the body of Christ is different than the world out there. Amen. That's right. Amen. Man, God is faithful. And God is faithful to do it as we build a relationship-based church that cares about one another, that loves one another, that lifts one another up, that prays for one another, and stays sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Oh, stay sensitive to His voice. To live in that atmosphere of continually saying, God, these people, we have a love relationship. Lord, if you want me to encourage them, please let me know. And then the next thing you know, you're getting an email from Michael and Donna. And it's saying, brother, just got one recently. I got an email back from them. And it said, brother, we just want you to know the word that you spoke today in this devotional, it's coming back to you, and you're going to experience it, and you're going to see the favor of God like never before. I'm going to tell you something. Everybody can look like life is perfect and they got it together and there ain't nothing. We come in, hallelujah. And I love that song we sang this morning, nothing gonna steal our hallelujah. When we come together, but you know what? Here's what I've discovered. When I get in here with my family, my hallelujahs are a whole lot easier to flow than when I feel like I'm on the front lines of the battle out there and I'm getting shot at by everything and everybody. See, our worship is about stirring each other up. The Bible says, provoke, what's this? Provoke one another to good works. Amen. I'm going to do my best to provoke you. Right. And keep you encouraged. And let you know that you are special and you are loved. People need to know. I'm getting deeper in this than I really had thought. But I'm going to tell you, people need to know they're special. Oh, it's so quiet. Even guys. Some guys are really special, but we won't talk about the ways they're special then, but I'm telling you, all of us at times need to know we're special, we're loved, we're valued. Let me tell you, Jesus put a premium on us. He suffered, He bled, He died, He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Because He loves us, because He loves you and me, and He cares about the quality of our life. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. It is on display. When one member hurts, we hurt with them. That's what the Word says. That's not my opinion. That's what the Word says. And we pull each other up and we encourage each other and we love each other. Iron sharpens iron. And we are truly, truly better together. Well, I went over time. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, next week, and we're going to celebrate communion today now as the common cup, as our community. But now remember, as we get ready to go into this, join with me today as united believers in faith, taking communion over our country. So much hatred. You know, I was thinking about this. It's just dealing with all the stuff that's going on. And I reminded of that scripture. In the last days, the love of many will wax cold. Hard-hearted. Cruel and violent. Church, we're needed like never before. Oh, church, help me. I said, church, we're needed like never before. It's time for the body of Christ to rise up. And so as we celebrate communion today, we not only celebrate everything Jesus bought for us, but we're also going to take it in faith for a mighty move of the Spirit of God in our nation, for forgiveness and for restoration. Amen. And let me tell you this. When it comes to this latest legislative decision there in that state, I say once again, we may have lost a battle, but we have not lost the war. I am still believing that God's going to have the final word and that people of faith will rise up in Jesus' name and put people in office that are born-again, Spirit-filled believers that live according to the counsel of the Word of Almighty God. And that is this Word. That is this Word. That is this Word. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen, Brother Scotty. Amen. that we'll walk in love one toward another, and we'll see a mighty move of the hand of God. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and prepare our hearts now. I'm going to ask the servers to come, and we're going to celebrate communion. And as we worship over this today, let's not just worship over ourselves, worship over our church. Let's worship over our nation. Let's get in agreement with the Spirit of God for what He wants to do and for what I believe is still coming on the horizon for us. I still believe that our nation will see the mightiest move of God it's ever experienced, ever. Greater than the Azusa Street revival. I said greater than the Azusa Street revival. I still believe it's possible. I'm an eternal optimist. I stay hopeful. When things go wrong and stuff like this happens, I check myself continually and say, Lord, let me stay in tune with You so that I don't just react in my flesh with carnal reactions. Lord, let me hear the voice of Your Spirit and let me know what I need to get in agreement with as these things happen and as these things transpire. But before it's all said and done, I believe that we're going to see a nation come to the reality that Jesus is our only hope. And we're going to see the United States of America once again turn to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and ruler and King.
Thanks again for listening to our audio podcast. If you would like to find out more about our church, you can visit us at life-church.org.